Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Near FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. Jürgen Klopp is considered to be one of the greatest football managers in the world, and he further enhanced his reputation by guiding his Liverpool side to victory last Saturday in the Champions League final. On the show today, I'll be joined by Raphael Hungenstein, who has written a biography on Jürgen Klopp entitled Bring the Noise, the Jürgen Klopp story. And I'm delighted to say that Raphael is on the line. Raphael, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Raphael, the talk prior to the Champions League final was all about the six finals that Jürgen Klopp lost. Do you think that would have played into his mind, or would he have been relaxed going into that final and he wouldn't be too pressurised by that statistic of them six finals he lost?
Well, it would have certainly played on his mind, because I think he would find it very, very annoying that people would somehow think that he was responsible for losing those finals. But at the same time, my feeling was that he was very relaxed, because he had never been to a final by his own admission or his own estimation with a team that was better prepared to win. You know, a lot of these finals were lost because the teams were either the underdogs or they came into the final sort of in an almost surprising way against the run of their play as far as their own season was concerned, and they were not really considered to be out and out favourites as they were this time around. And I think the experience of losing the final last year, the experience of having a team progress and develop and taking strength from their own failings in certain ways and making the right adjustments, put him in a position where he felt very, very confident.
Yeah, and I've been talking to a lot of, there's a lot of Liverpool fans over here in Ireland, and talking to them, they're very optimistic for the future. How do you see the next couple of years? Do you think Liverpool can go on and build on this success and maybe in the next couple of years finally win a Premiership title?
I don't see why they couldn't. You know, when you get 97 points, you're not far away. And there is no guarantee from Manchester City's perspective that Pep is going to stick around forever and that they will be able to replicate those amazing performances, amazing results. Of course, there's no guarantee for Liverpool either, but you get the sense that the team is very settled. People are really happy and comfortable working with each other. You don't have to spend a lot of money bringing in half starting 11 to get right, as perhaps United would have to do, or Arsenal. So, you know, you're going into every competition with a very realistic chance of winning. That is not to say that you will always end up winning, but I think there is good position as any big team in Europe to build on a success and add more silverware.
And if we go back to the start, you document in your book excellently the influences and what shape Jürgen, looking how big of an influence his father was, a footballer and just seemed to be an absolutely crazy football fan and played football himself. How big of an influence was his father on Jürgen's life?
I think it's hard to overestimate the influence Norbert Klopp has had on his son, starting with the obsessive dedication to all sorts of sports and that winning mentality that stems from it. But also, I think his father, like Jürgen himself, had a way with words, had the ability to connect with people, was very, very funny, was very eloquent, could hold the attention of a room. And I think without that side to his character, Jürgen Klopp would only be half the coach he is today. So in both these senses, as far as the sporting obsession and the winning mentality, but also the ability to talk and to have this presence concerned, his father was absolutely crucial. But at the same time, I think his father was also, to some extent, someone that Klopp did not want to emulate. His father was not able to really connect with his sons on an emotional level, whereby he would hug them or kiss them or tell them that he loved them. He was of a generation that found it very difficult. Klopp is much more tactile, much more loving, if you will, mm. as far as his two sons are concerned. One is his biological son, one is adopted.
Mm.
And I think he, whether consciously or not, mm. made a decision that he was going to be a different kind of father. So the influence bridges the whole, or spans the whole gamut of different emotions, mm. both things that he wanted to copy and emulate, and both things as well that he didn't.
And is that an interesting, you raise an interesting point, how he saw his father and approached it slightly different. Does that strike, he seems to be emotionally very intelligent, and you document in your book a major influence in his career, the coach Wolfgang Frank, and he was similar to his father. He was really, really good, but just maybe didn't have that personality. And you make the point that the genius about Klopp, he realizes that players sometimes might need a beer, or they're young players. Is that the great thing about Klopp? He has a great emotional intelligence, and he can look at things through the player's perspective.
Oh, without a doubt. Mm. You know, it was so noticeable in Madrid how the team wanted to win for him,
mm.
and he wanted to win for the team,
mm.
And there was this very strong mutual connection, and mm. Jordan Henderson came out afterwards saying, yeah, we all love him, and kind of stuff you don't really hear players say too often.
Mm.
I think Wolfgang Frank was a very complex character. Mm. I wouldn't necessarily compare him to his dad,
mm.
because Wolfgang Frank had an ability to connect with players, and mm. he was very liked by the mm. players. He was a humanist,
mm.
but he wasn't perhaps the guy, as you said, who would have a beer with players or be the first in line when it came to come to partying, mm. or very good in front of the microphone, all the kind of things that Klopp mm. has always done really well to sell, as it were, to sell the project both to his people and those outside. So Frank, I think, was hugely influential because of the footballing ideas that he brought to the table, really novel ideas at the time in Germany,
mm.
but also because he was a different kind of manager. I think up until then, Klopp had only experienced managers who would shout and bark
mm.
At players and would blame them if they were beaten. And he was, I think, the first one who tried to help them actually play better football. And that had a huge effect on him as well.
And when he got the job, he eventually became coach. He played with Mainz and he eventually took over. Was that a surprise appointment, him taking over when he was appointed to the job?
Perhaps not to him, because he always felt that he would maybe one day be a coach,
mm.
even though the opportunity had not arisen. But I think in hindsight, he felt that he had thought and acted like a coach
mm.
years before on the pitch and off it, trying to do a lot of stuff to motivate the team to play better and to have a stronger togetherness. But of course it was a huge surprise because he was only a player in mm. inverted commas. He was an aging defender, and famously when he was presented as interim coach for his first game, the local reporters who turned up laughed and thought it was mm. a joke.
Mm.
But of course he won his first game, and then he was given the job, and then he became the most successful manager in Mainz's history.
Mm. And the stories about Mainz, it's remarkable. They went twice to get promoted to the top league and they missed out on the last day of the season. How was like devastating for any team, and for a lot of teams that would have took a lot out of them. But what did Klopp do to kind of galvanise this team and not make them be too upset about them upsets and come back stronger in that third year and win that and get promoted?
Before the Champions League final in Madrid, he said getting promoted with Mainz was his biggest success as
wow.
a manager.
Okay.
And I think that is true in the context of those two heartbreaking final day failures, if you will, to get to get promoted, and then making it on the third attempt. The context of this is, or sort of the background is, that Mainz were one of the smallest teams in the second division. No history of first division football, no real history as a big club, no real interest even in the city for Mainz and the football team. So when they were twice thwarted, there was a suggestion or there was a belief that they would never ever get that opportunity again. I mean, it was a fairy tale story, but without the happy end, that people just did not think that it was possible to repeat it for a third time, but with a different outcome. Somehow Klopp managed to energize his team, managed to use those disappointments and that heartbreak as even more motivation to do one better the next year. And he managed to do it. And of course, there's an echo in this in the losing final in the Champions League last year, where now the players have told us, right after the final whistle, he told them, look, this cannot be the end of the story. We have to make sure that we're going to come back. And they have used that to their advantage. And of course, it worked out this time around.
And from then, he went on to Dortmund and won two German league titles. Given that, now that you look back, you're at a situation now where Bayern have won the last seven German titles. Does that, when you look back now, does that make the achievements of Klopp? He won them two titles and took Dortmund to a Champions League final. Does that really, really show what an incredible achievement in doing so well at Dortmund?
I think people both in Dortmund and throughout Germany realised before just how much he achieved there, because he's picked up Dortmund in the table.
Yeah,
a team that had really lost itself. That team had stopped playing exciting football. People were no longer excited to go to the stadium. They had very little money, and within 3 years they were Bundesliga winners, then in 4 years double winners, then in 5 years Champions League runners-up. So it didn't necessarily need Bayern's dominance following his departure to bring home the point. But it is a good point nevertheless, because he will be the only manager to have stopped Bayern winning all championships in this decade. So that is no mean feat, and I think it does maybe just add a little bit extra sheen to his achievements there.
And in terms of the German Championship, do you see Bayern? I know it was a tight run title race this year, but do you think it's going to continue in the same vein for the next few years, that Bayern are going to continue to dominate?
Well, Dortmund had a real opportunity this year, and they unfortunately didn't take it, unfortunately from an equals perspective. They were 9 points clear in mid-December. They were up against a Bayern team that was in transition, that had a very new and relatively inexperienced manager in Niko Kovac. And they had a realistic chance of winning, and unfortunately they failed to do so. Bayern will strengthen. They're investing heavily next year. But it looks as if they still have the same manager, who's still relatively young and inexperienced, and might still have not convinced everyone in the dressing room and in the boardroom that he is the right man to take Bayern forward. So I think there's still a chance that Bayern will struggle under Niko Kovac next year. But the chance really was now in 18-19 to take full advantage. It's going to be more difficult the next couple of years.
And going back to Klopp, moving over to Liverpool, all the Premier League top weights are looking at, all the fans are looking at envy at the appointment. The likes of Man United and Spurs, and Man City. How close, I know he was linked with Man United, how close was he to going to another English club before he was appointed Liverpool manager?
Well, as you said, there was a lot of interest in him before he moved, of course, and he wasn't necessarily an overnight success. You know, the Dortmund dominance lasted 3 years, and in his fourth year he had a lot of interest, and then of course in his fifth year at the top, if you will, he actually resigned. So there was always a lot of interest in him. Liverpool in 2012, I think, made their first approach. The time wasn't right, and there was interest from Chelsea in the past, some contact with Spurs and City as well. But the only real negotiation, if you will, happened when United approached in April 2014, when he had a meeting with Ed Woodward and he was thinking about taking that job, but ultimately wasn't quite convinced by what he was hearing. But also, just as importantly, I think, felt that his job at Dortmund wasn't quite over yet. So it didn't work out. And of course, United's loss was very much Liverpool's gain when they appointed him 18 months later.
And are you, as someone that followed his career closely, are you surprised how well he's adjusted to football and his career in England?
Not really. I mean, if you read the book, you see that things have a habit of repeating themselves. Yeah. Similar challenges, even though on completely different levels, but in terms of the size of the challenge in relative terms, similar. Similar ways of energizing, of motivating, not just a team, but a whole club, a whole city. And bringing that success in his third full season. In his third full season at Mainz, he was promoted. In his third full season at Dortmund, they won the Bundesliga. And in his third full season at Liverpool, he's won the Champions League and came within a point of winning the Premier League. So this guy basically has got what it takes to be very successful almost everywhere. But I think especially at places that come with a similar idea of what football should be, which is more than just a game on a Saturday, but actually a sense of community, a sense of shared responsibility, a sense of togetherness. And I think he is probably the best in the business right now when it comes to pushing those buttons, which he adds to a tactical and sort of technical expertise, which is sometimes overlooked, but those other bits I think are crucial to succeed at these type of clubs that he's been at.
And you mentioned that connection with the fans. It's special at every club, and it seems to be a perfect fit for Liverpool with him and Liverpool at the moment. Do you think, looking to further down the line, will he be there for Liverpool for the next 5-10 years? How do you see it playing out in terms of his career?
Well, his existing contract runs for another 3 years. That would have kept him there for 7, which in football terms these days is an eternity. I think there's a strong possibility, personally, this is without having had any new info since Madrid, that he'd be very tempted to stay a bit longer.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think the owners don't want to push him, don't want to create any pressure on him to renew at this point. And we'll just wait for him to make a signal almost, or you know, to tell him that he's willing to stay beyond that. 3 years is still a long way to go. And I think the only danger, if you will, for Liverpool at this point is that he might be too successful, that he might win everything and then feel in 2022, you know what else can I do?
Yeah.
It's a tantalizing, but at the same time it's a very pleasant danger to face. But it is a small danger nevertheless.
And I know we're in the realms of speculation, where would you see him going? Would it be back to Germany if he left Liverpool? I know it's very speculative.
At the moment, I find it hard to envisage another club, another team that would really work for him. You know, Dortmund, Liverpool, there are similar type of clubs. Mainz less so, but he left Mainz in a similar kind of bracket of clubs, even though they were much, much smaller. But when it comes to the sort of the special atmosphere that he managed to create there, there aren't that many clubs there. Certainly aren't that many clubs that would work for a manager who speaks English or German. I've always thought, but this is, again, this is just my own conjecture, really, that you might one day think, having done so well at clubs, maybe the time would be ripe to transfer that and try to make 80 million people happy, which in a way is the ultimate achievement, of course, winning a World Cup.
Yes.
At the same time, perhaps for someone who's so energized by football and so devoted to his craft, maybe not fulfilling enough to only be really actively involved every other year or so, or every 2 years when those big finals come around for the national team. So I honestly don't know. I'm not sure that he knows at this point. I don't think he is the type of guy that has his whole career mapped out. I think he's much more much too intuitive for that, and will trust his own feelings and his own instinct, and will only make the decision once it arrives. And I don't think we're anywhere near that at this point.
Yeah, listen, Liverpool fans will be hoping he stays for many years. Listen, Raphael, the book is excellent, Bring the Noise, the Jurgen Klopp story. Thanks a million for your time and sharing your insights on Jurgen Klopp this evening.
You're very welcome.
That was great. That was Raphael Hangenstein, who has written the book Bring the Noise, the Jurgen Klopp story. And I just thought, with a lot of happy Liverpool fans at the moment, it would be timely to set up that piece. So it was great to talk. And that book, Bring the Noise, highly recommended. That's pretty much it for this evening. You can listen back to any of our previous shows by going on to the Near FM page, searching Beyond the Back page, and you can listen back to any of the previous shows. You can give us a follow on Twitter. It's Beyond the Back page. And if you have any suggestions for future guests or anything or feedback, good or bad, we welcome it. And for more sport on Near FM, tune in at 10:30 on Saturday, where Fergus Carroll will bring his usual Saturday sports show, and he'll also have his results show on Sunday night. So that's pretty much it for this weekend. I hope you enjoy your sporting weekend. There's a lot of good. I just want to mention before I go, look out for the football qualifiers and indeed the replay between Cavan and Armagh, because there is a potential for the first time in the GAA Championship of a shootout, a penalty shootout. We all see the drama in soccer, so that has been announced, that you confirmed by the GAA today that that's going to happen. So that's something to look out for. But that's it for this evening. Thanks for tuning in, and a sincere word of thanks to my guest this evening, Raphael Hangenstein, whose book Bring the Noise is out now. Thanks for tuning in, and I will talk to you at the same time next week.